Welcome to Stronger Than Failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs on their struggles, victories, goals, and how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Now, here's your host, entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole.
What's up, Stronger Nation, and welcome back to the very first show of 2021. So with that being said, Happy New Year. I wish you the best year ever. Happy New Year, Derwin.
Oh, happy. It's all good.
Dude, it's going to be a great year, man. Like, no matter what's going on, like what's taking place the previous year, what's kind of on the horizon now, 2021 is going to be the best year that we're all going to have, because it's all about your mindset and what you're going to do to achieve the best year. Does that make sense?
All good. Yeah, it's going to be a great year, so I'm looking for bigger and better things to come.
There we go. And now I'm here later. I'm going to find out about a couple of things that you want this year. But before we get into that, it's going to be a little bit later, Derwin. So everyone, this is my wish for you. This is my prayer for you this year. I pray that you have the best year that you've ever had in your entire life. That being, and that including, I want this to be your biggest financial year you've ever had, then making the most money. I want you to get in the best shape mentally and physically than you've ever been in your entire life. I want you to date the right people. I want you to find that one that you've been wanting. And I just want you to have the highest level of confidence and become the best version of yourself this year. Because once you do that, every year after that, it's going to be better and better. So with that being said, talking about confidence and being the best, you're the best version of yourself. What we're going to talk about on today's show, so we can achieve those things, we're going to talk about confidence, how to create unstoppable confidence and becoming the best version of yourself in 2021. And with that, because it is the new year, you already know we're going to talk about goals and goal setting. But before we get started, I want to tell you a little story, right? This is huge once you kind of think about it. All right. The elephant, once it's full grown, is the strongest land animal in the world, right? So if it is the strongest land animal in the world, then how can these massive thousands of pounds animals be controlled in a circus? How can they be stuck, right? Well, when the elephant is born, when it is very little, when it is born, it is already chained to a stake in the ground. Right. And so this little elephant, this young baby elephant, is trying to pull and snatch and run. But no matter how hard he tries, he can't break free. He does this long enough and he believes that he's stuck. He tells himself he's not big enough. He's not strong enough, that the stake is too strong for him. That he'll never break it. So once this elephant becomes full grown, after believing all this, he's stuck. He can't move. He's not going to even try to break free. That's why they can be at the circus, stuck to his little stake in the ground. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of people are. When they're younger, they get stuck. Whether, you know, it's a relationship, the parents, authority figure, whatever happened, somebody told them something, or they even told themselves by comparing themselves to other people. They told them something that got them stuck. And because of that, they believed it and they never achieved more. They never broke free to achieve what they really wanted to achieve, achieving the next level of success, the next level of happiness, that next level of fitness in their life. So that's why I want to talk today about confidence, your level of confidence and how to create unstoppable confidence, because it is the most crucial. It is the golden key that's going to unlock endless doors of opportunities for you. The psychiatrist Carl Menninger, I think that's how you pronounce his name, he said that attitudes are more important than facts. And he said this years ago. And Stanford University, there was a research done as far as success. And this right here, I've said on the show before, if you've heard it before, then you already know. They did a study on success, and success is 88% attitude and only 12% education.
Wow, that's huge.
Dude, that's huge. Think about it. 88% attitude is, I mean, that's pretty much it. That's everything. Your attitude will determine if you're going to be successful or not. It's on 12% of education. And the cool thing now, man, Derwin, as you already know, man, shoot, dude, hell, everything's on Google. If you don't know something, Google it.
You can look it up.
Yeah, it's right there. So really, it's your attitude towards whatever it is that you want to achieve is going to determine everything. Because your attitude, your level of confidence in yourself is going to determine the level of success you're going to have in your life. It's going to determine your level of wealth. You know, if you only believe, like, your self-confidence level is only this high, if you only believe that you should earn $36,000 a year, guess what you're going to earn? $36,000 a year. If you believe that you should earn 50 grand a year, you're going to make 50. If you believe you should earn 100, 500, $1 million a year, then guess what? That's what you're going to earn, because you're going to rise to your level of confidence in yourself. Your level of confidence is going to determine, you know, how happy you are. There's a movie out there. I'm not sure. So, Derwin, have you seen that movie, Happy? I know it was on Netflix for a while. I own the DVD. My friend's mom, who's a phenomenal woman, she sent it to me, dude. And it's a great movie. Have you seen it by chance?
No, I don't think I've seen Happy. I might have to check that out.
All right, check it out. It's a documentary on Happy. So it kind of tells you, you know, what creates happiness, where it kind of comes from, what influences and affects it, right? And I'll give you a couple little stats on it. All right, happiness, a lot of people think the more money you make, the happier you're going to be, right? Not the case. This movie determined that and it proved it. It said that the people who make, all right, as long as all your means are met, you know, food, clothing, shelter, things like that, once it's all met, so let's say if all that took 50 grand, food on the table and everything else was $50,000, and then there was a person they did the test with and they made like $1 million a year, right?
Right.
It said the increase in money did not affect your happiness level at all, not one single percent. Now, that's huge, because a lot of people think the more money you have, the happier you're going to be. Not the case. So what does determine how happy you are? Your level of confidence, what you believe. Because, again, real quick, with happiness, 50% of your happiness is a set point. So it's basically your DNA, how you're built. You're going to be a certain level of happiness. You're going to, like, achieve, whether it's like a wedding or a business opportunity that you capitalized on. It could be numerous things that go up in life or down in life, but you're going to always come back to this kind of set point, right? That's 50% of your happiness. 10% is going to be circumstance. And this is where the biggest portion comes in. 40%, right, is what you do to determine your level of happiness. So, and the reason that's important and how your level of confidence plays into there, because if you don't believe that you should be happy because whether you've done things wrong in the past or you've been picked on or you've been put down or you've been told that you don't deserve it, like the elephant just kind of being stuck, thinking he's stuck there. If you don't believe you should be happy, you're not going to achieve it, because 40% of you achieving more happiness is all on you. That's huge. Now, also, your level of confidence will determine if people respect you or not. If you don't respect yourself, then why is anybody else?
Yeah, you can see that definitely. Yeah, no. People respond to your confidence.
Dude, like, you can walk into a room, me, you, anybody, all of our listeners right now, think about it. If you walk into a room, a crowded room, you automatically know who's confident.
Right. I kind of learned that early in life too. You know, back in the elementary school days, you know, kid walking to the room, you know, he's not too confident when he walk in. You know, he get his lunch took in.
Yep. Maybe you went to I just got picked on. I got to eat.
Hey, put your hand if you want that pizza right there.
You going to eat your cornbread. Oh, man, I don't want to go to your school.
Yeah, you learned it quick, man. You got to walk up in there with your head up like, yo, don't touch my pizza.
I mean, and man, you kind of hit the nail on the head, though, and that's with everything in life. You got to walk into the room or the situation or the relationship, you know, kind of like you own it. Not arrogance, but a high level of confidence, like you deserve the best. If you're going in for a job interview, you want the best pay that you can possibly get at that interview, right?
Right.
You got to walk in chest up, head up high, man, like you own it, you deserve it. If you're in a relationship, you've got to go in there telling yourself that you deserve respect. Because, if you don't think that you deserve respect, you're not going to get it. And unfortunately, that's something I learned the hard way. And again, I know, Derwin, you know, and a lot of our listeners, if you followed the podcast and the radio show in the past, then you already know that, you know, growing up, I grew up poor, me, my right eye, it turns in, like when I'm tired or stressed out or sometimes for no reason at all, it'll turn in. And because of that, you know, kids are ruthless. They're vicious. So when I was younger, I got picked on a lot throughout elementary school, middle school. I got picked on a ton because, you know, again, being poor, didn't have all the newest stuff or the in-style stuff. My eye turned in, things like that. So I got picked on a lot. So going into relationships, you know, with girls, and I just didn't really respect myself a whole lot because I always got picked on. So I didn't expect them to respect me. So because of that, I always chose the wrong women.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So then there's always a lot of arguments, a lot of not trusting, just everything. So it was just a lot of fighting, a lot of turmoil, and a lot of just stress, man.
I got you.
Yeah, it was horrible. And it was like later in life that I really figured out that, you know what, I've got to break free of all the negative limitations that I put on myself, that other people kind of, I guess, planted the seed, but it's up to you if you water that seed and cultivate it and nourish it, you know, or plant your own garden, put in there what you want. So it took me a while to really figure that out, that I'll get out what I put in.
There you go.
Yeah, man. So it was later on that I really started choosing the right women, like the woman I'm with now. Amazing, dude. I could not ask for a better relationship, a better woman. I pray that everyone has a relationship like that, like I have. So much respect, so much happiness, so much fun, dude. It's a blessing. It really is. So we grow together, the whole deal. And that's what I want for all of you. And I want you to realize that your level of confidence in yourself is going to determine a lot of that. So again, your level of confidence is going to determine your pay. It's going to determine if you're happy. It's going to determine if you get that job or not. It's going to determine if people respect you. So I want you to have the highest level of confidence possible, because it's going to determine everything. Norman Vincent Peale, he wrote in his book, The Power of Positive Thinking, all of your actions, feelings, behavior, even your abilities are always constant with your self-image. So folks, I just want to tell you that I love you. I believe in you, and I want you to have the highest level of confidence that you can possibly have in yourself. All right. So with that being said, I want to talk about how do we achieve confidence, right? How do we get to the next level of confidence and love who we are, respect who we are, and really walk into a room and own it, right? And you walk into a room and own it because you're confident in who you are. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is probably one of the toughest things for people to understand and really achieve. It can be done by anyone. It took me a while to take, you know, to really learn this right here. And because right now, all over this country, all over the world, there are a lot of people suffering. People just like you and me. They're suffering every single day. And it's robbing them of their power. It's robbing them of happiness. It's robbing them of fun. And that first key that you got to possess to achieve happiness, to achieve the higher level of confidence, what you're going to do to get that is forgiveness.
Wow.
Dude, forgiveness is huge, Derwin. You know, Gandhi said, the weak cannot forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong.
Right, right.
Because anybody, you know, can hold on to resentment, right?
Right.
And unforgiveness, like somebody cut them off in traffic, if somebody did not invite them to a party or an event, if they got passed over on a promotion, if they were lied to, anybody can hold on to unforgiveness. I mean, that's easy. Anybody can do that.
Right, so it takes more strength.
Yeah.
To kind of forgive and forget about things and keep moving and keep the, I guess the relationship established and everything for the better.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's where kind of a lot of it comes into a play. A lot of people think, well, I mean, if I forgive, I'm weak, right? Because I forgave somebody who did me wrong. And that is the complete opposite of really what's taking place. Because, again, if you forgive, you're the stronger person. If you forgive, you're the one that's going to heal. Because if you can't forgive, you can't heal. You can't heal, you can't grow.
Right.
It's huge. I mean, have you had a time in your life, Derwin, that you had to forgive somebody and did, but it was really tough?
Right. And I've had both times when it took me a long time to forgive somebody. And when I finally did, I felt so much better.
All right. So how did you forgive somebody? What took place? And like, did you go tell that person, or something you just told yourself? Like, what did you do?
Well, you know, most of the time it was like a family member, that some things that probably was said that I didn't feel like was necessary. Maybe I felt like I maybe was being talked down to or something.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hard to forgive. But once, and I held a grudge about it. And, didn't really even share that same space with that person as much as you know, as less as possible.
Yeah.
So once I came to terms with it, and I didn't forget it, but I came to terms with it, I guess you say, and put it in its place, and I let that person know that, hey, you know, I'm kind of over that, and wanting to move on and, you know, make some, you know, live happier and, yeah. and try to, you know, maintain, you know, a family relationship, you know, as and look at it as a learning lesson, and not to say I'm going to, you know, just deal with that kind of stuff when it comes up. I just know how to handle it a little differently now.
Yeah. Well, man, I'm glad you shared that because, you know, being a man and just talking about that right there, that's something that a lot of men don't do. They don't share things like that, you know, like somebody talking down to them and how they held a grudge in. You know, that takes somebody, again, strong, especially put that out there to all of our listeners. So that says a lot about you and your strength and your character and who you are as a person. So, man, thanks for sharing that story. And
I come up hard, baby.
Life out here is hard on a pimp. Oh, that hustle and flow. Yeah, I can't say, I'm not a good singer, but I know words.
You're good.
Yeah. But and that happens, man. A lot of families do things are like that are said, whether it's a spouse or in-laws or, you know, just cousins or just a family friend that you feel is family. Things like that happen. And sometimes, again, they don't know they've done any wrong.
Right.
But
right.
You're the one holding it in, hurting yourself. And, it's, you know, talking about how forgiveness is an attribute of the strong, T.D. Jakes, who I love to follow, man, super powerful man, you know, quote he had was, we think that forgiveness is weakness. But in actuality, it takes a very strong person to forgive. And that's one thing we're talking about. So, Darren, yeah, you're a strong person because of what you did and forgiving that person and moving forward in the right direction. Because I want you to think about it, like holding on to thoughts that produce negative emotions, such as mistakes that you've made or betrayals by someone you trusted or an unhealthy relationship with a significant other or a friend. You know, it only causes a person not to heal and not to grow. Holding on to negativity will only poison you emotionally.
Right.
Emotionally, and then also, man, leads to it physically. You're going to not, because you're mostly not feeling good, physically you're not going to work out. You're not going to be doing things, and stress causes diseases in the body. That's why disease is dis-ease.
Right.
You know, once you forgive, you cleanse these chakras, so to speak. You cleanse your body, your mind, and you're able to feel a lot better. I mean, Buddha said, holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. The one who consumes a poison is the one who will be poisoned, no one else. And it's just so many people are caught up in drinking that poison. Oh, you know what? I'm mad at you. And they drink the poison. They're like, I'm going to hurt you. And it's like, nah. You're the only one getting hurt here. Man.
It's kind of like the, I hate to keep going back to elementary school, but you know, it's like when somebody says something to you and call your name or something, and you say, that's not true, and what you say go back on you.
Yeah.
That's the thing we used to do.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's kind of like how it happens. I didn't realize how that worked. But, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep, and a lot of things that we learn, man, we learn as kids. And we don't realize that childish things can be put away, and we're adults now. You know, we're grown men and women. We need to think like grown men and women and do the right thing, you know?
Most definitely. And the sooner you can realize that, the sooner you can enjoy yourself and enjoy your life better.
No, absolutely. You know, and if everybody knows that forgiveness will help you feel better and grow and create more happiness and freedom and less stress, then, you know, why do people get caught up on drinking the poison of, you know, forgiveness? It's because forgiveness can be a tough, pride-filled pill to swallow. And most people just don't want to force that pill down their throats, man, you know?
Yeah, that pride pill can be very big.
No, yeah. Everybody's like, nah, I don't have enough water for this. I can't break it up. Oh, I don't like swallowing pills. Yeah, most people don't want to do it. It is tough.
And what's weird about it, once you swallow it, then you realize what maybe a big dummy you've been the whole time.
Yeah.
And then you got something else that comes behind the pride. It's like a little stupid feeling, you know, like, what, I'm a dummy, you know?
No, it takes the blinders off. Once you're able to forgive, you realize that, because how free you feel, and then you start thinking back, man, I could have felt like this a long time ago. Then, yeah. So, yeah, you kind of feel down about it. But the thing is, let that go. It's a matter of where your mindset's at. Mindset is everything. So once you do forgive, you know, forgive that person. We're going to talk about how to forgive in a moment, like the ways to do it. I'm going to tell you all that right there because it's crucial. But once you forgive, you're able to let go and be free. Because think about it. Let's say, all right, Derwin, let's say that – all right, you hold that grudge, right? that grudge you have the family member, okay? So that grudge you had that they talked down to you and you were mad at them. So you got hate in one hand and anger and being upset in the other, right? So you're upset. You're holding on to all this anger and unforgiveness. Then God comes along. God says, Derwin, dude, I love you. You're my child. I want to give you happiness. I want to give you abundance. I want to give you this perfect opportunity to start this business. Here you go. You can't receive it if your hands are full of anger and unforgiveness, can you?
No, you got too much. You're blocking your own blessings, look like, right?
Yep. You've got to let go of the negativity in order to receive the positivity.
There you go. Let go and let God, right?
That's it. So I want to say that again, folks. That's something a lot of people need to hear. You got to let go of unforgiveness and bitterness. Let go so you can receive the blessings God's got to give you. Because God wants to bless you. He wants to give you everything positive that he can possibly give. You're his child. He wants to bless you. But you've got to let go of the negativity. If you don't let go, you can't heal. Again, if you can't heal, you can't grow. All right, so let me go over here and talk about the ways to forgive. Because there's a little process there. You don't say, okay, I'm just forgive them and we're moving on. Right. No, there's a little process.
Yeah, and it's good because I think everybody needs to hear this at some point.
Oh.
Yeah, even once you learn it once, it's still something you got to kind of keep a practice of.
Yep, absolutely.
Because you can fall back into that.
Yep. Yeah, dude, everything's a habit. So, yeah, once you get into the habit of forgiving, it becomes easier once you know it. Let me give you the five reasons to forgive first. Number one, forgiveness is not equal condoning. It simply says, I will not let the past control my future. I'll tell you that again. Forgiveness does not equal condoning. It simply says, I will not let the past control my future. Two, forgiveness is a sign of strength. Three, when you forgive, you can heal. When you heal, you can grow. Number four, forgiveness is for you, not for them. And then number five, because God forgives you. That's another big one there. If God forgives you, then you've got to forgive others again. Because if you're not forgiving others, then only thing you're doing is holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness. What do we got, Derwin?
Hey, Daniel, I got to let you know we got a caller on the line.
All right. What do we got going on, man?
I'm going to patch him through 1 second.
All right. All right, folks, hold on. We got a caller in, and we're going to see what's going on.
Okay, caller, can you hear us?
I can hear you guys loud and clearly.
Perfect. Now, how's your day going?
It's going well, Danny. This is Maureen. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. Maureen, what's going on with you, girl?
Your topic is really captured me. I have a really big passion when it comes to forgiveness. And so I think that was a perfect topic. That's something that can go on and on and on. But I wanted to just kind of add to that as far as forgiveness. And you and Durbin touched on, well, Silk. I'm sorry, Silk. But you guys touched on that topic very well. But for those, and I didn't hear the whole show today, so let me know if I missed anything. But with that forgiveness, and if I missed it, Danny, you correct me on it because you're absolutely correct. When you hold on to the hatred or whatever ill feelings that you have, in retrospect to any contrast that has happened with you with any particular person, it is misconstrued. And when you learn how to forgive, it really releases you from all the toxicities. It releases you from all of the anguish and the pain, and it's actually for your self-healing. So I agree with that. I think the reason why forgiveness can be tough sometimes is because you are absolutely right. That word is really misconstrued quite often. And when there's forgiveness in place and there's someone that has done something to you in whatever fashion or form, you know, coworker, family member, next door neighbor, you know, you name it, often the other party, whomever that is that has done the ill intent towards the so-called person that is, you know, they feel a little, you know, they're feeling some type of way. I think what happens is that the word is thrown around so often. In other words, if you forgive someone, society tends to put a lot of obligation on the forgiver. In other words, let me give you an example. Let's say you and I, Danny, I love you and we're really good friends. And you've done something that really hurt me to the core. And I finally came around to forgive you. And, you know, just like Silk said, you know, a family member, he, you know, he said, you know, let's squash it. I want to move on. Let's get back to, I guess, the basis of being a family. But often when you forgive someone, people tend to give you all of these, they give you several shoes to fill. In other words, when you forgive someone, they have this expectation that maybe you can go back to the same relationship, or if you stand your ground a little bit more firmer just going forward, just by evolving through life and learning how to adapt in life by being able to forgive those that have hurt you. You, when you forgive, and for me, when I forgive, I set boundaries. My forgiveness, I forgive you, I love you, we can continue to be friends, but we may can't do the same thing. You understand? Because both sides, there's a learning lesson in it all, because there's two entities there. And so often when you do not allow that person to have that same relationship, you may not want to go out with your girlfriend anymore. She's done so. Or say Danny and I, you know, no, Danny, I can't have lunch with you or what have you. You know, it doesn't mean you haven't forgiven that person. It's just that you had to set boundaries, but you're still past it, but there's boundaries. And so sometimes things do not go back the way it was. And because often when you are conflicted, or not conflicted, but when you are afflicted by someone, often the person who is afflicted is also accountable for what has happened. So you begin to look at yourself inward and say, what could I have done to avoid this person stealing my lunch money? Or how could I avoid this person to speak to me in a such a way? So you begin to look at yourself and to evolve and say, okay, I can control myself, but I cannot control others. And how do you control yourself, and what happens to you is what you put out there and how you deliver to people and what you do and don't allow. Does that make sense? I kind of talked in a roundabout way to try to get to that point.
No, it absolutely makes sense. And now you hit the nail on the head. I mean, with the whole story, the way you went down to it, because yeah, just again, once you forgive, you know, it doesn't mean that you condone what they did. It is you're forgiving them because you're wanting to grow, move forward. You're not going to hold on to that bitterness that's been holding you back, or holding other people back, or making you upset. It's like you said, you've got to set boundaries, because if you don't set boundaries, that person will do it again, or you're going to allow them to do it again, or, you know, something negative is going to happen. Once you forgive somebody, you grow. You learn from that situation. And again, once you set boundaries, it's not going to happen again. And then you got nothing to worry about.
All right.
It's kind of like, you know, that hence. What is that? Because I'm a story we all grew up on. Was it Hansel? It wasn't Hansel and Gretel. Which one? Yeah, where you let your hair down. No, it was a couple that was in love and they both committed suicide. What story was
Romeo
that?
Romeo and Juliet.
You know, that's a shame that kids were taught that, but it's kind of like, if you love me, you will. We'll just die together. You know, one of those kind of scenarios. Yeah. It's like, I love you, but you go right ahead, because I'm still living. Yeah, I love you, but I'm not going to die with you.
Yeah,
you
I'll know? See you on the other side later.
Yeah. So forgiveness is often used as a mind manipulation also. It's like, you know, how dare you? You need to learn how to forgive people. Well, yeah, I forgive him, but I don't want to go out with my best friend and have drinks tonight. You know, that's not the kind of relationship, that's not where we are anymore. And so I just want to kind of expound on that, because often the person that's to do the forgiving, they're often ridiculed, or there's a lot put in their lap, and people tend to grade their level of forgiveness and say, well, you got to learn how to forgive. You can't be so angry all the time. You got to let it go. And you're not holding on to anything. It's like, no, these are my boundaries going forward. So, you know, that's one of the things that I wrestle with when it comes to this whole topic on forgiveness. Yeah. And so,
you forgive somebody doesn't mean you got to go hang out with them. I mean, again, we learn and grow from the situation. So if it was something that hurt us And we realize, you know what, that's not the person that, because of what they did, that's not the person that I really want to associate with or talk to or anything like that. Just because you cut that person off doesn't mean you didn't forgive them. It just means you're doing the best thing for you. So, no, you're absolutely right. And they can't try to, you know, persuade you or make you feel bad or manipulate you and saying, well, you know, if you forgive me, then you should, we should just move forward and go hang out like we used to. No, that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is saying, hey, I'm letting it go, but I'm moving on also.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's that other option.
But I want to sound on that because there's a lot of people out there in the world, and you know, just through my experience from just, you know, my entire life, you know, I will either witness that or, you know, when you set your boundaries, people tend to judge you with the boundaries. And so I just wanted to kind of elaborate on that. And you may have done that because I kind of got in at the end of the show. And but just for those out there who are looking to, you know, move forward with the person that you may have hurt or you've had some discrepancies with, you know, don't place that type of expectation on that person. Because my thing is that if I'm speaking to you and you're breathing the same air that I'm breathing, we're in the same room, that means I've forgiven you long time ago.
Exactly.
All right. There you have it, the education.
We love it. So thank you for calling in, Maureen. I love hearing your input always. You are very intelligent. So thank you for calling in and sharing that with us.
Have a good evening. Thank you, Danny. Thanks, Phil. Talk to you later.
All right. Well, hey, we still have a couple of minutes left. Mm-hmm. And you got anything else you want to add there, Danny?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, yeah, we're not done. Yeah. You know, a lot of people ask, you know, do you have to tell that person that, you know, that you have these feelings with that you've not forgiven? You know, do you have to tell that person or something you can do on your own? And it's something you can absolutely do on your own. You can forgive that person without even telling them that you felt this way. You know, if you feel that you should, then go ahead. But it's not always something that you have to do because, again, this is something you're doing for you, not for them. It's something you're doing for yourself. So now I want to go into how to forgive, right? This right here, and this is my book, folks. If you've not got a copy, go get you a copy right now. It is The Formula for Happiness and Success in Life, right? And one of the chapters is on forgiveness. And so these are the 9 things you need to do to forgive. Number 1, realize that holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness does not harm the person who hurt you. Realize that. It's not hurting them. It's hurting you, all right? Know the best revenge is to live a happy and successful life.
Right.
If that person hurts you, forgive them. And then do your best and live your best life and let them be like, man, what in the hell is going on? I want to be like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Good example.
Number 3, write down on a piece of paper the name of the person that has harmed you and the reason you forgive that person. And then throw that paper away. All right? So let's say, again, somebody talked down to me. I forgive John for talking down to me at my birthday party because it was only holding me back. I was only being upset about it and holding resentful feelings. So I'm letting that go. I forgive John now, right? And then ball it up, burn it, throw it away, get rid of it because it's gone. Boom, poof, done. Number 4, and this is huge, everyone. Guys, you got to listen. Stop rehearsing the story. Every time that you replay that story in your head, you're going to have those same emotions again. Your
right.
brain does not know the difference between the past, present, or future. It just knows whatever you tell it. If you keep rehearsing that story, you're going to have those same feelings, and you're going to be upset all over again. Stop it. Period. Stop that.
Right. Let it go.
Yep. Number 5, and this right here is kind of tough too. Number 5, pray for the person who wronged you. In the Bible, it tells you that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, right?
Right.
If you pray for the person that has wronged you, it's going to cancel all that out. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're praying the best for them, and there's been studies done that if you pray for people and that you wish goodwill on them, it changes that circumstance between you two and also that person for the better. It's crazy. All right. Number 6, understand that no one is perfect and that everyone makes mistakes. We're all human. We all make mistakes. I've wronged people, you know, that I knew about and sometimes probably that I didn't know about. I mean, things happen. You know, that's life, unfortunately. Just realize nobody's perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. 7, write down the good that came from the situation. You know, what did you learn about it? You know, you learned that some people can't say things at the wrong time, not mean the right things. You can interpret things wrong. It could be a number of things. What did you learn from that situation? Number 8, know that your power is restored when you forgive. I'm going to read that one again.
Right.
That one's strong. know that your power is restored when you forgive.
Right.
Then number 9, remember that the one who forgives is always in control. No, if you forgive somebody, you're the one in control if you forgive them or not. Right. So, and that's kind of a double-edged sword. Right. If you don't forgive them, you're still in control, but you're only causing yourself harm. You're only being upset, causing angry, playing that story, having those same emotions, holding both your hands closed off, not being able to receive the blessings God's got to give. Let go, forgive, you're in control, and then you're able to receive other blessings.
Wow. And the other person may not even know that they're controlling you in that fashion, and they're going on and doing great things with their life, and you're still under their control.
Absolutely. Dude, that's one thing that I've got in the book, and it kind of goes into depth on that, whereas sometimes, yeah, the person that has caused you harm didn't even know they did it, right? It can be intentional, unintentional. They didn't know they did it, and they're living their best life, and you're the one over upset and mad every day. So, no. So, all right, folks. And I'm going to go through the rest real quick because time is running down. All right, so number 1, as far as how to create unstoppable confidence, is forgiveness. You got to forgive. Once you forgive, you have so many blessings coming to you. You're going to grow. You're going to feel better mentally, physically. You must forgive. Number 2, stop comparing. Stop comparing yourself to others. You know, so many people will compare themselves to people who are at 10 times the level they're at. Oh, well, they make, you know, $1 million a year and I'm only making 80. So, you know, it's just, it's horrible. I can't go on the vacations they do. You know, quit comparing that way. One of the things that you want to do if you are going to compare, because a normal, you know, comparing is healthy. We're all going to do it. You can't say, oh, stop comparing. That's not going to work. We're always going to compare. It's in our DNA. But compare yourself to somebody who's on the same level as you, or a little bit lower, or a little bit above, you know? So you can say either I'm better than this person here, we're on the same level as this person, or this person's just slightly above me. What do I need to do to get to that level or higher? So stop comparing 10 levels above you and compare to slightly above or below. But again, it's your mindset of knowing what to say to yourself and how to move in the right direction. Does that make sense, guys?
Sounds good.
All right. Be your authentic self. Now, that right there is big, right? To be your true, authentic self, you must first know who that is. You know, so many people wish, like so many guys, you know, wish they looked like somebody else or had the same money someone else had or vacation where someone else did. They know all the things about somebody else, but they know very little about who they really are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's a big one.
Yeah, it's like whenever we're younger, we take on, oh, well, I like this vacation spot because this is what I went on with my parents. I like this vacation spot because this is what I went on with friends. Or I like this car because somebody else, or this color because somebody else, right? This music, this food. Find out who you are, right?
Right.
Look at different cars. Go on different vacations. Try different music. Try different food. Look at different movies. Find out who you really are.
That's important.
It is.
Yeah, you can end up being something that you're not really supposed to be.
Exactly. And unfortunately, man, there's so many people that are just that way. They are the version of themselves that somebody else thought they should be. You know, they don't know who their true, authentic self is. So you need to write down, you know, or just think about, what are your passions? What are your hobbies? What is it that you truly like to do? You know, what do you want your future to look like? Where do you want to go? Where would you really like to vacation? Get in touch with your inner you, your authentic self. And once you do, live it. Be proud of that person who you are. Be that person. And once you do, your level of confidence will increase. You will step out in greatness and you will achieve greatness. All right. Next is going to be, and I've got, I think, just 2 more. Like, this is all you're going to have to really do, man, to really create a lot of confidence. And I'm going to have a course. You know, of course, I'm a men's life coach, so I've got a course for this, increasing your level of confidence and living a truer, happier life. But the next step here is be grateful. If you're not grateful for what you have right now, why should you get more?
Right.
And think about it. If you do get more, if you're not grateful now and you get more, you're not going to be grateful then either.
Right. And to me, that helps me with balancing things too, remembering to be grateful, because sometimes you can, somebody, it was a comedian that actually told a joke. I think it was Mike Epps, and he said, okay, everybody in the room, come down, and if you could, put down all your problems. And imagine if your problems, like some tangible, you know, like say a piece of paper, everybody put down this piece of paper, this is going to represent your problems.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Then, so you, of course, when everybody comes down, it's a lot of people, they're going to put down their paper. So you have a big pile there. Then you're going to say, okay, now everybody pick yours back up really quick. So when you everybody's snatching, they're trying to get their papers. Some people getting other people's problems by mistake. So then Mike said, "Now you tell me what kind of problems that you had and the ones you have now." He said, "Well, I thought my problems were hard, but now my legs, I can't walk. I can't get around. Mm-hmm. Can't go to work." So he said, yep. "See, the moral of the story is, you never understand what another person's problem is. It's always somebody that's doing worse than what you are, and somebody that's doing better than what you are. Exactly. So sometimes you be happy where you are."
Dude, that right there, that was powerful. Yeah. I mean, it's in my head when you're saying that, when everybody's going to the front. Like, in my head, there was a couple of different things going on. One, once you put down your problems, your burdens, you're kind of released from it, right? So one, I mean, I praise Mike Epps for doing that. That's amazing. That was powerful. Because you lay down your problems, and like you said, once you pick it up and you realize that, dude, this other person can't walk, or they just got evicted or something, or what's going on in their life, you're like, man, you my pick problems up their aren't problem. That bad, you know. Right. I'm overweight by 5 pounds. That's easy to do. You can knock that out. You know what I mean?
Right. He said, also, just think, too, somebody may have saw you put your problems down and put theirs down next to yours and snatched yours up.
Yeah.
They could look at yours and say, hey, he got a big situation with
what
I got.
That's all he's got. Shoot, I'll take that. I'll take that one all day long, yeah. Because, again, man, it's all mindset. You know, we catastrophize what we see, right? What we're going through, and we minimize most everybody else's. But man, everyone that you meet out there, everyone you meet in the street, friends, family, strangers, everyone's fighting a battle, and most of them you don't even know. You know what I mean? Right. Anxiety, dude. Like I said, I was battling anxiety, and I still do a little bit now. It went away for a while, then it came back, dude. Like, anxiety was something I was battling with, and most people had no idea.
Right.
But dude, that's serious.
It's serious.
That's like you don't really want to get out and do things. If you do, you're nervous about how long you should be out or where you should go, and you're always looking for like an exit strategy. And
right.
Yeah. I come across on, I don't know how you pronounce it, Udemy.com,
Udemy,
right? Yeah. So there's a lot of, are you cool?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many classes on there and things, and one of them was overcoming anxiety. And anybody's got a question about anxiety, wants these, I got two workbooks I can send to you. Go to strongerthanfailure@gmail.com, send me a message. But I can send these two workbooks, and this is how I overcame anxiety, like, tremendously, because of really realizing what it was. Like I said, anxiety, like, one, let's say real quick, if you're experiencing, your heart's beating fast, right? Mm-hmm. What that right there is, it's because of our adrenal glands, the fight or flight syndrome, so your heart beats faster. So you're in this moment of, all right, what do I do? Do I run? Do I fight? Or do I, flee or fight, right?
Right.
That's when your heart's beating fast. So people think, well, my vision's where I can't, the peripheral vision's gone, because when you're in this fight or flight moment, you're looking straight ahead. You got tunnel vision, right. So everything here is crystal clear. Everything else is kind of not. So people's like, well, I got tunnel vision. I'm feeling weird. But no, that's to keep you alive and straight, because back when we were cavemen days, if we were about to get attacked by a mountain lion, you had to know where to go and what to do.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to be lunch, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like the sweating, anxiety brings upon sweating. Mm. What that does is because your body's overheating, because your heart's beating fast, you're getting nervous, you sweat to cool your body back down. It's not a bad thing. It's your body cooling down.
Right. I got you.
Yeah, a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to pass out. And I'm kind of going through this quick, because there's a lot of things that I had in my head about the anxiety. Wow. Like you're thinking, oh, I'm going to pass out. But they said no one's ever fainted from anxiety. You can't, because it actually lowers your blood pressure. It increases your blood pressure slightly. So by increasing your blood pressure slightly and increasing your heart rate, you can't pass out. And no one's ever passed out. No one's ever had a heart attack or had a stroke from anxiety. It's not deadly. It's not lethal. It's just scary.
Just scary, yeah.
That's all it is.
Okay.
But again, I'm sorry. I went on a tangent there. But yeah, you never know what someone else is dealing with, right?
Right.
So put all your problems down and forgive and be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for the lunch that you had, the conversation that you had, the ride in, whether it's traffic or no traffic. If there's traffic, hey, you got to sit and listen to music and talk on the phone to somebody. You know what I mean?
Right.
I always look for the silver lining. All right, folks. Last but not least, we're going to wrap this up. We will have to talk about setting goals next week. The last one is going to be hit the gym. Hitting the gym is going to help your self-esteem, your level of confidence more than you can imagine, right? Because once you're in there, you drop a little weight, you start looking better in the mirror. That's going to make you feel better about yourself. I didn't drop 8 pounds in the past like 2 weeks, and dude, I feel great. I'm like, walk by me, I'm like, uh-oh, take the shirt off. Shit, I don't need this on. But it makes you feel so much better. Also, it releases the endorphins and the serotonin levels in your brain, and you just feel better. Hit the gym. if you want to increase your level of confidence, right? If you want to own 2021, you want to be the best and strongest version of yourself this year to achieve your goals, increase your level of confidence. Forgive what needs to be forgiven. Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Be grateful for what you've got. You want to, what was the other one right here? I got to scroll back up, man. Be your authentic self. Be true to yourself. Know who you are. Know what you like. Know what you want. Stop comparing 10 levels up. Don't do it. And hit the gym. You got to hit the gym. Get in the best shape of your life. This is your year, your life, your body, your mind. Make the most of it. So, folks, I love you. I'm glad you're listening in. Thank you for listening in. Happy New Year. I wish you the best, and I want you to know that you are stronger than failure.
Stronger Than Failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs on their struggles, victories, goals, and how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole. Stronger Than Failure.